Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. Always excited when you join us for more of your listener questions here on a Wednesday. Today, we get some good ones. We get a question about if we think enchantment over the new fireworks show over at the Magic Kingdom will still be around in early 2023 for somebody who's pushed their trip out just a bit. We also talk about the difficulties of changing your hotel room on a split stay over marathon weekend, why this is not such a hot idea to change hotels on marathon Sunday. A lot of logistics there. Plus, we talk about new openings, some closures, and more on today's podcast. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs. They are experts. They're a platinum earmarked agency, which means Disney has recognized them for being the best of the best. And the best news? Costs nothing extra to use their services. Check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click means a lot to us. Bookmark it and use it as often as you can. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And a sincere thank you to our patrons who allow us to put this show out four times a week all around the world. It's because of your support that we get to have all this fun every week. So thank you so much for that. Our patrons also get Mike in the Midwest, a bonus podcast every Thursday. So if you'd like more information, check it out over at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1965 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you are doing well and having a great week. I know, again, I say this every now and then, but it's a rough one. I know we're expected to work 5 days this week. It's always tough coming off that Labor Day week where you got four. But you know what? You've done it before, and we're going to make it through again, and we're here to help you. We're holding hands with you virtually. We're talking Disney. We're getting you, hopefully, scooting down that highway, even though there's... Well, watch it. Check your blind spots before you change lanes. Maybe you're on a run. It's just a small cramp. You're going to make it. Maybe you're walking the dog. Hey, Fido, chill out. We're just there with you all the time to try to make your day better with some Disney talk. And joining me today... Ricky's going to be here on Friday, but she's held up. Speaking of traffic, she's held up. But we have your friend in mind, the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, what's going on?
Happy Wednesday, everyone. It's, 5 day work week, man. What's that about? I don't even understand. So,
Okay, wait.
Challenging.
You and I, though. Okay, let's be serious. We're very lucky, right? We work from home. There's a lot of perks to what we do, but that. 7 day work week. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I work every morning, I'm not complaining here, but a 5 day work week where I don't have to touch anything Saturday and Sunday, I'd take that for one or two times, I think.
Right. So I think one of the challenges from working at home is it's always like, and I know this is Steve's pet peeve, right? I'm like, I just have to check my email one more time. And then an hour later, he's like waiting for me to be done. So yeah, that's the beauty. And you know what? I love though that so many people know more about what it's like to work from home now.
Yes.
They get what we're going through. So anyways, but I would not trade it for anything. I don't think I'm even capable to go back into like a corporate office at this point. I am like not suitable for work. Yes, not suitable for work outside my home. It's my little label.
No, I agree with that. You know, this is my work uniform right here. And if you're not watching the video, I do have on a green, just plain old Mickey Mouse shirt, you know, t-shirt that I picked up on Castaway Key. It was on sale, by the way. It's She Sells Seashells, which I can never say, but I don't know why it was on discount. It was, it's not even like a cruise shirt. It was just out there. And I was like, well, yeah, it's $15.
Someone's printing them at Castaway Key.
I don't know what's going on here. Like, this thing's $25. Yeah, it's like $25 at the Magic Kingdom. And it's not a knockoff. Like, it's got the Disney branding on it. I was like, whatever. If it's $15, yeah, charge it to the card. So I got that. And yeah, this is my work uniform. So I can't complain. I thought about this. Other than church, I haven't had on Dockers since 2017. And I lived in Dockers for 17 years. I mean, if you're a teacher, if you're a male teacher in elementary school, you just... And all my Dockers were like a different shade of beige, you know, or like, you know, khaki. And right. It was like polo roulette. You just grab the next polo shirt on the hanger and out the door. Unless it was Friday, yeah. Because that was Spirit Day, so that you had to make sure you had some Spirit clothes on.
Right, and every now and then you could pay $5 for jeans.
Right, and let me just say this, too. And then we're getting to the first question, I promise you. The greatest thing about working from home is that every once in a while, I will send my home staff a memo that tomorrow's a Spirit Day. Like every Friday, it's Mizzou Day in the BOGP Studios office. So all of the employees that work in this house, just me, have to wear Mizzou stuff. I don't know. Do you ever have theme days? You got to spice it up when you work from home.
You know what? I haven't thought about that, but you know, Hannah does, you know, like different incentives for her class, right? If they earn this many points, you get like PJ day, or if you earn this many points, you get crazy hair day or whatever. So I think what I'm going to do is start sending out a memo about that. Right. Like if everyone fill in the blank, next Tuesday, we will have PJ day. Right. So you wear your PJs to work. Yeah. I'm going to try that, I think.
Oh, yeah. Pam loves it because I always tell her, tomorrow, I got to send out a staff memo tomorrow because Cardinals might be back in the playoffs. By the time this comes out, they're probably not. Cardinal day. He's like, we're in the, you know, chance to make the playoffs. Anyway, let's get to the first question. Kate is in the live chat.
She has a
good
question.
Hey, guys, what is your favorite grocery delivery service? Let's see. We've used Garden Grocer in the past, but feel maybe there is a better option now. Thanks. So what do you think, Pam? Because I've only done Amazon Prime Now, and it's only like stable goods, you know, like stuff that isn't fresh.
Right. And I think Garden Grocer is still a really great option. One of the reasons is that this is their business. They've been doing this for a long time. They're not new to this. They have the system down pat. They know all the resorts. They, you know, they're working with a full-on grocery store, so you're going to be able to order most things from there, including alcohol. They will have you upload your ID, so if that's something you want to have for your room too, that's an option there. The other thing we've done is Instacart, and that is really going to be dependent on basically the person who's doing the shopping for you, right, how it goes. I've had really good experiences, and I've had some experiences that I'm like, like I substituted... this for this, and you're kind of like, okay.
See, I'd be a terrible Instacart shopper because I would always try to save you a little money. I'm like, I know you wanted the premium stuff, but man, this was 2 for $5. I mean, come on.
Right. I know you've asked for rye bread, but I substituted English muffins.
Pumpernickel.
Like, okay. Well, not quite the same, but okay. No, but stuff like that. So I say, you know, go with something like that. Like Mike, I've used Amazon Prime Now too, but their selection is greatly limited. Just really to what's available there. And then they will do some shopping at Whole Foods for you. But of course, you're going to get a pricier option in that case too. So I would definitely stick with Garden Grocer or look at Instacart.
So what I hear about Garden Grocer, again, never use them because I don't get a lot. You know, I just get like Coke Zeros. We'll get Pop-Tarts, you know, maybe some Goldfish, Cheez-Its, just little stuff that we can grab in the room if we want something. But if I was going to get groceries, say I'm staying in a villa or something, you know, and we're going to, you know, eat some meals and so forth, I would go with Garden Grocer. The thing I hear about it, though, is that it's a little bit more expensive. But think about it, like, it might be a little bit more expensive, but since they do this is like their thing, like you just said. You're paying a premium, but you're paying a premium because it's probably not going to be a hassle. You're probably going to get what you want, and it's going to save you time. You know, it's just, it's one of those things, like, right. I would pay a little bit extra just to know the problem is solved. And I think on a vacation, that's key. You got to think about that.
It is. And you get a bit of a discount if you order before your trip. Like, depending on so many days, gets this kind of discount. So look at that, too.
All right, let's hit the inbox here from Jessica. She says, a Remy question for the BOGP crew. Hey, Mike, Ricky, Pam, and maybe hashtag Scotty G. Scotty G might be joining us next week, so stay tuned for that. Of course, he's on the Thursday show because we recorded Sunday. Question about Remy's virtual queue and park reservations. We have 3 days planned in the parks next spring. As of this moment, I made park reservations at Animal Kingdom, Magic Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios with the plan to hop to Epcot in the evenings. But I just realized that with Remy being a virtual queue, I assume similar to Rise, we may need an Epcot park reservation to be eligible to get a virtual boarding pass. Thoughts on this? I suppose we may also have the option to pay for a Lightning Lane pass to ride Remy. And I know that lately things are changing so fast that we could be completely in a completely different situation next spring. But I'm curious if I should change my Animal Kingdom park reservation to an Epcot reservation. in order to be eligible to get a virtual boarding group for Remy. Thanks for any insight you may have on this. As always, love the show. Jessica's in Springfield, Virginia. What do you think, Pam? Because again, she's right. These things are changing. But as of now, what would your strategy be?
So I'm going to pull out the hat of assumption, right? Putting it on, because we're all just assuming and predicting that this is going to be. We actually need a hat of assumption, because I think that we do this a lot. So we'll try to offer the best advice based on what we know now, which is just a little bit. So I'm going to say, in order to get a virtual queue, you probably are going to have an actual park reservation at that park. That's just the only way it's going to work. Is sort of like Rise of Resistance. I don't think, and you know, again, my assumption hat's on, that that Remy is going to be gone like that, right? Like Rise of the Resistance. I'm guessing it probably loads more per hour, perhaps, than, and is not as prone to breakdowns or technical difficulties as Rise of the Resistance, but. That's something that, you know, we just don't know. We also don't know if there's going to be any availability for standby. We really don't. We're assuming no, because of the fact that there will be a virtual queue. But remember, a couple weeks ago on Rise of the Resistance, there was actually a standby.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's what crowds were like. So we don't know what that is, but I'm assuming that you're going to need a reservation at that park in order to be able to join the virtual queue. That's really sort of how Disney gates that, right? Or reduces the number of people that would even be eligible to try for that. So that's what I'm assuming.
That's a good thought too. Here's the only thing that makes me think that possibly you don't need it, but I would definitely put a theme park reservation on Epcot, because you're going to want to ride Remy. It's getting rave reviews. Obviously, it's not even open yet, but the previews, people are liking it. That, you know, we're kind of like, I don't know if I'm going to like it or not. People are saying there's lots of detail. It's really family friendly. It's got enough thrill. It's people are loving it. So you're going to want to ride it. I get what you're saying with not putting a theme park reservation on Epcot, because that's an easy one to hop to because it has big capacity. That's how I've always thought about it. Like, if I want to hop somewhere, Epcot's always pretty safe. Like, it's harder to hop to, we haven't had any, to be honest, we've never had a park that you couldn't hop to since they started it, which is crazy. But I think Epcot, if you're looking at like statistically, you probably have the best chances to hop to Epcot over any other park. But here's the thing. They said with, Remy, that they're going to have multiple virtual queue drops throughout the day. So possibly, I mean, I would hope that maybe they would have a drop, say, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 o'clock, you know, kind of a last chance, you know, do one at, you know, 7, do one at like noon, do one at like 5. But we haven't heard any times on that. So I'd definitely put a theme park reservation there and then kind of just keep your, you know, ear to the ground to see what's going on.
I would too. And I think that just like your theory in the, you know, her theory in that you'll be able to park hop to Epcot, you'll be able to park hop to Animal Kingdom too. And, you know, we're still in that phase, really. When you are arriving in the afternoon, the crowds are going down really quickly after that point. And you just aren't having, you know, those late afternoon crowds that I have seen. I don't know. Mike, has that been what you have experienced too?
Yeah. I think we're good. Yeah. On that. I mean, it's like one of those things, like we're going to just roll with it as it goes. She's in the spring too. So
true.
I think what we're going to see is they're going to hit this October 1st when it opens. It's going to be a crush at Remy. The holiday season, you know, say that week between Christmas and New Year's, hopefully things kind of calm down and it's really busy again. They'll see that crush. And then I'm assuming spring break. And then by then they'll have a good, you know, they'll have a handle on how to get everybody in and everybody happy.
For sure.
You got to have time. So that's kind of good there. Okay. Alfred's got a question real quick. Do you know what the schedule is for October 1st at the Magic Kingdom? I don't have my Disney Experience pulled up, but it's right there on my Disney Experience. Long hours that day, obviously, for the 50th. Also, does Space 220 have an ADR yet? It does not, and it opens next week, which is kind of interesting. But again, as of the time the show comes out, we make things happen on this podcast like nobody else's business. We did a show last Friday on Riverside in French Quarter, and we talked about how Disney needs to bring back Yeehaw Bob. And guess what? Yeehaw Bob is back. That's right. You're welcome, Bob.
Right?
And
Thanks, Disney.
We have a knack. So who knows? You might have 80 hours by Wednesday when the show comes out. But as of right now, we do not. Okay. Here's a question from Rick. One of my great guests over at the Magic Plus says, hey, Mike, you're helping me book my marathon trip. And my wife and I were just thinking about how we're going to switch hotels on marathon day. Any idea on how to make this happen and have somewhere to shower after the race? Assuming it'll be after checkout time till we're done and before check-in time at the Grand Casino. This is a problem. So I have subjected friends on Marathon Sunday. One is in the video box to my left or right, depending on how you're looking at it, to a dinner at Via Napoli, where I had to run 26.2 miles. And I was in this situation because I had to get home to teach school the next day. I also subjected an entire Southwest Airlines flight to a smelly runner syndrome. Fortunately, I was in the whole row with my family, so I just killed them. But yeah, this is one of those things where you say you're doing the 10K, the 5K, the 10K, you're going to be back to your hotel in enough time to check out and get a shower and move on. Marathon, you are not. I mean, if for one thing, you've run 26 miles, you're really not moving too quick after that. But you're going to finish. I mean, I don't know what your speed is, but I mean, if you start at 6 and you're really fast, you're not going to be done till 11. And checkout time is 11, I think, still. So, and the thing is, Joe, one of our, he's a runner as well, Joe Laszlo down in Atlanta, he says, beg for extended checkout and or run faster. I've run fast in races because I'm going to miss my flight. That happened at Star Wars 1 year in the half marathon. And I got a really good time because I was scared to death. It was like Amazing Race. Like, oh, I missed my flight. And then I took an Uber. Like, we got to go. That was the weekend of that training we did down there that year.
All right.
Yeah, that was crazy. And Rick says he's slow like me. So that's good. You get more, the longer you're out there, the more bang you get for your buck. Look at it that way.
That's true.
But I will say this is a challenging situation because you can ask for an extended checkout. They're probably not going to give it to you, though, because every runner wants that that weekend. So if you can, if possible, don't switch. You know, like switch on Saturday, switch on Monday. But that is a tough call because
maybe the day before. Yeah, switch like the day before if possible. Look at that. And the late checkouts are challenging right now because with the enhanced cleaning, it takes longer. So they're not really issuing those even like they did before. And they didn't really do it that often before either. So that's a challenge. And the other thing is, like, yeah, you're going to have all your stuff sort of packed up and stuff, you know, before you leave that morning. Yes. And, oh, man.
This is me. Like, when I go for a marathon, and I have a marathon in Chicago, which I'm super nervous about here in less than 4 weeks. And this is like a non-Disney. This is my first non-Disney full marathon. And I don't even really like the city of Chicago. Like, I'm a St. Louis guy. So, like, I don't like the Cubs. You know, it's just like, you know, you're grown to hate this city. It's like our rival city. So I'm going up there, running through their streets, and I'm super nervous about it. And the thing is, though, when I go to run a marathon, I need to be, like, in a certain place mentally when I go into the crowds. Like, I need to not have to focus on work or, the thing is, I don't want to have to think about checking out and switching hotels because you got too much time to be in your head over 26 miles where you're hot, you're tired, you're thirsty, you're hungry, you got a blister at mile two. You're like, where'd that blister come from? Like, I haven't had a blister in 6 months. And then you get one, you know, you got 24 miles to ride on that blister on your big toe. Mentally, you just don't want to have another hassle that day. So I try to, you know, just send me an email. We'll figure it out. We'll get you moved a different day, possibly. And I just don't want anybody stressing out. You want to have fun, right? You pay too
now
much.
Now you're stressing Mike out.
Seriously, I know. Seriously, you are. So
now Mike's going to be thinking about you moving from one resort to the other.
Yes, I know. Don't stress me out. I have enough to worry about. I'm probably going to get a blister now. Now that I thought about it, it'll happen. So
right?
I just spoke it into existence. And if I do, I'll be like, dang it. Why did I say that back in September? Anyway, Jill's got a question from South Jersey in the inbox. Is Memorial Day and Labor Day crowds. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Love your show and appreciate all the helpful info. We go to Disney a few times a year, but have never been over Memorial Day or Labor Day. My son just started high school, and though I'm hesitant to pull him out of school, like we usually do. I'm looking to do both of those weekends next year, But just curious if the crowds will be insane. I know September is usually slower, but not sure about the holiday weekends. Just trying to get an idea and your opinions on those times. We are from New Jersey, so for comparison, we're always in Disney for Jersey Week. So we're used to those crowds. Thanks, Jill. Okay. When she said that last sentence, I've been there for Jersey Week. Insanity. Like, I quit running the half marathon for Wine and Dine because that weekend was so crazy. And I like running Run Dizzy, but I gave up the Wine and Dine race weekend because that was a nuts weekend for a few years. And it was Jersey Week. I say you're good on both ends. If you can handle Jersey Week, I don't think it's probably less crowded both of those weekends, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say too. Now, definitely Labor Day is going to be less crowded than Memorial Day, but I think both of them are going to be less crowded than Jersey Week used to be. That was one of the more popular weeks, and we really saw tightness in the hotel inventory during that week. I mean, after a certain time, you were really relying on someone else to cancel their reservation, or you were staying at one of the maxed out suites at one of the deluxe hotels. That was sort of what was available
right
as you got there. So I think that you're going to be fine. I think you're really going to know how to navigate this, and you won't find any difficulty at all.
And then, so, yeah, I would. Yeah, you're going to be fine because just less Jersey accents. Now, you know, you're not going to get that.
Truth.
So, I mean,
you won't see your neighbors. Yeah,
exactly. You won't see all the teachers that are like, woo. No, they have conventions. That's right. The teachers. That's a bummer.
Yes. Yeah.
The kids are all.
Yes.
The teachers are working. Yeah, that stinks. But yeah, because you can tell the side of the fence I was on, the teacher side. Like, what? The whole state of New Jersey gets to go to Disney and I got to sit in professional development. Again, my line, whenever I rolled, when I knew I was pretty much to the end of my teaching career and I knew I was going into travel, I got a little cocky the last year because, like, you have to do all these requirements for the next year. And so every time I'd roll into professional development, like the last 6 months of that last year, I'm like, I'm here, but I'm fully developed. I'm good. He's getting everybody fired up.
I can't get any more professionally developed.
That's what I said. I was like, I'm here and I appreciate you, but fully developed right here. I'm good. yeah, I got some looks. I used to have fun with everything I did. I still do in life. Anyway, so Rick's got a follow-up question. So he says, I guess he's going to talk to me later about the splits day, but he said, would half marathon day be better day to switch? Yes, because if the half starts at, I mean, let's just kind of, you got to kind of work backwards, right? You want to be right in the room by 10. If you want to get a shower and get out, even 10:30. Here's the thing, work backwards. Say the race starts at 6. You run it in 3 hours. That's 9. You could get your medal and get on that bus and be back at your hotel by 10 and get a shower and get out of there. So, yes, half marathon day is going to be closer, but you should be fine with that day. So, yes, we are working through all the logistics of a race, right? It's not just running, people. It's thinking. It got a lot to think with. All right, quick question. Oh, Aaron, shout out Aaron in the chat. Glad to see you back. He hasn't been here for a while. I've been missing you. Karen Mitchell, do the Little Mermaid rooms have connecting rooms?
They do.
Yeah.
They do. Just about every kind of room at Walt Disney World has connecting rooms. I think the exception to that is going to be the family suites typically do not connect to each other because they figure, hey, you have a bunch of people in there already. You probably don't, you know, need more.
Yeah, we don't.
The connecting rooms. And I think it's good to note that there is a difference between connecting and adjoining because some folks use that term, those terms interchangeably, right? Yeah, adjoining just means you're next to each other. Right? It probably will not, and it may or may not have a door in between. And connecting means you're actually connecting. There's going to be a door on each of your sides, right? And you'll be able to open that up and even walk through if you want to. What's funny is on our last trip, we happened to stay in a room that's connecting to another room. And throughout our stay, like you could hear the door on the other side open up and someone be like,
It was probably a podcast listener that knew you were next door. Like, I'm going to open that door. Pam is going to have hers open and then we're going to be able to meet. That's exactly what it is. Yes.
Too funny, right? But yeah, so funny. But even, I don't know, maybe I'm a heavy sleeper, but even with the connecting rooms, I don't typically hear what they're doing in that room next to me. Doesn't bother me. But yeah, you'll be able to connect. It is a request, though, for most guests. The only guest that it's not going to be a request for is if you happen to be in a party where the number of children outnumbers the number of adults, then it can be a guaranteed request. But otherwise, it is just going to be a request.
And if you want connecting, but you don't get connecting, you get adjoining. My biggest tip of advice, you may or may not get this from a TMFLT tip in your email if you book with us, learn Morse code, because you can just like tap on the wall. Like, okay, that means we're going to meet out on the balcony at 8:43.
Exactly. It's like,
wait, try it again. That was an SOS. What? You got to get out of here. See, I can only do that this week because Riley is not currently in the studio. Because if I did that,
she would bark. She would bark.
And look, there's no dog barking this entire show because Ricky's not here and my dog is in Colombia. So she'll be back. Anyway, okay. Next, I love these questions. I hope you guys are having fun with us. We love doing this. Okay, here we go. Lisa's got a question. Hey, Be Our Guest Podcast. Love the show. I always love listening to you guys answer other people's Disney questions, but this time I have one of my own. The weekend of Halloween, I'll be headed to Disney World. When I just read that, I heard, this is Halloween.
I know. Right?
It's Halloween season already. Yes. It says, we'll be staying at the Contemporary Resort for the first time ever. With all the current restaurant closings that are taking place, what are my best options for food? In past trips, I've tended to stay at the Pop Century Resort. We've always eaten at the food court and were able to get the grab-and-go items, such as pastries, to save time for breakfast the next day. At the Contemporary, I have no idea what I could buy the day before in order to save for breakfast the next day. Any ideas? Sincerely, Lisa. Two words. Contempo Cafe. Pretty good. I mean, what do you think, fam?
Yeah, there is. There's Contempo Cafe. And then there's also that little coffee shop that's on the first floor. I don't know if they have actual food. I would bet, though, that they have like croissants or something like that available to purchase. The other thing is, when you're staying at the Contemporary, you actually have so many different resorts that are just a monorail ride away, right? So if you're going to, let's say, spend the day at the Magic Kingdom, and then you'll do a little monorail loop tour before you head back to the Contemporary, stop by any of their locations too. You have Gasparilla Grill to choose from, and also Captain Cook's at the Polynesian. The other thing I want to point out is the Polynesian has this little Kona coffee place. We had breakfast there just a couple weeks ago, and I will tell you, that case was full of really yummy looking things and some very unusual things, like chocolate covered strawberries that weren't just chocolate covered. I think they were bacon bits on top of the strawberries, right? Stop. And you know, it's one of those things that sounds weird and would be fantastic, right? You'd be like, how come there wasn't bacon on my strawberries all these other years I've been eating them? So, but they had a whole array of different things. It is worth stopping by. So I think that would be a good thing to stop by and get. But yeah, you'll have options there at the Contemporary.
And if you're used to the grab and go, that's what I would do. Like the Temple Cafe, grab, you know, because you can get croissants or a little sandwich. Mm-hmm. We probably don't want sandwiches for the night, the next day, but like pastries and stuff. But here's what I'm excited for, because you're going to be there in October. And on October 1st, Steakhouse 71 opens at the Contemporary, which, you know, here's one of the things. When I first started, like, reading guidebooks, you know, just as a fan, didn't do a podcast, didn't, you know, book travel, nothing like that, I was always kind of like, there were a few things. I always wanted to eat at San Angel. And it's really what it is. It's because of the pictures, I think, for a lot of the stuff in the Burn Bombs guides. Like, I had to eat at San Angel. And I still do, like, because it's so cool, the theming. But remember, there was, what was the, it was called the Concourse Steakhouse, I think, at the Contemporary. Like, for some reason, I always wanted to eat there. And, of course, it went away before I ever got a chance to. But I love that Disney's giving a nod, like, just in the name. I don't even know the details of the restaurant. But I love that this is one of the few places at Walt Disney World that it's almost like they're giving a nod to their own history, calling it Steakhouse 71, like they did out at Disneyland with Steakhouse 55. So I love that. And I wish Disney would celebrate more of themselves, like their own history, by naming stuff like that. You know, I want to eat there just purely because it's called Steakhouse 71. How crazy is that?
No, I agree. I totally agree. And you know what the other thing was? Just today, like, I don't know, a few minutes ago, they released the menu for this. And reservations are available beginning September 16th. So that's fantastic. That means it is opening very soon. And some of the stuff that they have on their menu looks great. Like, they have a robust breakfast menu, right? Like, I just like the normal stuff that you would think, but they have stuff like Walt's prime rib hash.
Oh, nice.
And I love that they're pulling in like some more Disney history there. The Steakhouse 71 Feast. I mean, you know, that is some Disney history right there. And it was such a great opportunity. So.
The thing is, you know, I know a lot of places don't like to kind of toot their own horn, but I think with Walt Disney World celebrating 50 years, you know, half of a century there, that you have a lot of people. I think Disney's kind of starting to come around to this. This is just a little tangent, but I think they're coming around this a little bit, but I wish that they would do more of this. Like you said, I mean, the name of the restaurant, but also the name of the entrees, a nod to Walt. There's enough folks out there that they can, you know, you're going to, because that'll, if you can have a place that caters, you know, unofficially to like the hardcore Walt Disney World fan that has grown up going to Walt Disney World. Think about how many Disney podcasts there are and blogs. I mean, that alone would have a huge audience to draw into that steakhouse. But then, you're going to have first timers go there just because it's a steakhouse at the Contemporary. I think this is a win-win because I want to go there because Yachtsman Steakhouse, I've never been there and I know it's awesome. You love it. Ricky loves, everybody loves Yachtsman. But if I had to pick right now, just because of the name, I'd go to the Steakhouse 71 if somebody asked, just because I'm that kind of a person.
I agree. And the other reason why you would go is because they have PB&J wings.
Oh, shut up. I haven't looked at the menu. Are you kidding me? I've never heard of that, but I'm in. Yes.
I know. As soon as I saw it, I thought of you. I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds like something that Mike would want.
Oh, my. I start every morning with 2 pieces of peanut butter and jelly toast. I mean, every morning. I've never thought about that on wings. That'd be so good.
Anyway. It'd be like, yeah, sweet. Savory.
Now, is this a signature location or is it regular?
I think it's going to be like a regular table service. I don't think it's going to be signature because they have California Grill there. So I don't know though. That's a good question. You know what? They did have the prices on this too, I think. Oh no, they didn't. I was like, I could tell by looking at the prices right. Whether it was quality or not.
Yeah. Those PB&J wings are $32.50 for six. I can't afford to eat more than a half dozen. Enjoy, Mike. No, we'll see. I'm excited, though. And I've said it enough. I just hope they keep celebrating themselves a little bit. You don't have to do it everywhere. But, I mean, Contemporary is a great place to do that. So, original hotel. All right, Laura's got a question. We had a great trip to Walt Disney World in March, but sadly, I don't think we'll be able to get back until the end of March of 2023. Do you think we'll miss Enchantment? Will Guardians of the Galaxy be open by then? I would love to catch all the new attractions. We are also looking forward to Harmonious, Tron, Remy's, and Space 220. Thanks. So I think you're going to get everything in March of 220. You're going to get Guardians. You're going to get Tron, Harmonious, Remy's, Space 220. Do you think Enchantment's going to be something that sticks around for a decade like, say, a Wishes? I mean, you can't say happily ever after because that thing, I hardly knew ye. It's gone.
I know, right? So we know that it'll be around for at least 18 months, right? Because this is a celebration like Disney does, right? And it's going to last from October for 18 months. So I'm really excited about that. Whether or not what will happen after that, I don't know. That's anyone's guess. I hope to see it around for a little bit because just, you know, some of the things you sort of hear, the rumors and stuff, it sounds fantastic. And each subsequent, like, I was really sad to see Wishes go. And I know you were too, Mike. But I love what they did with Happily Ever After. I think it was just such a cool thing. Plus, they kept that Hercules song in it that came from Wishes. Yes. I mean, it came from Hercules, but it was a big part of Wishes. And it's a big part of this one, too. And I love that they do that. So I think it'll be around for a while. And it'll be a great time to go because you will be getting to see all those things. The last time they were there, Tron looked fantastic. So it's going to be not only a fantastic ride, but I'm so excited for what it brings to Tomorrowland, too. It changes the landscape of that land.
So. It does because, you know, it's undeveloped land that they're putting something new on, which is good. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times you're just replacing something. This is making Tomorrowland larger. Outside the berm there. It's going to be exciting. Yeah. You mentioned Go the Distance, the song from Hercules. So my daughter's killing me because both of them, like, because that song gets me. It's like my running song, because I know I'm not really a runner, but like, you know, I try as hard as I can. I'm an old dude, and I just try to get to the finish line every day. And the thing is, like, that song, man, chokes me up all the time, especially in Happily Ever After. I cry. I'll be honest. I cry every time it comes on Happily Ever After. And so they just dog me on that every time. So we were on the cruise last month, right? And so we're playing Disney music trivia. And that was the answer. And they both turned to me because they played, you know, it's like one of those things. They play like 3 seconds of the song and they're like, are you going to cry? I'm like, no. And it's, Go the Distance. Write it down. It's from Hercules. They're so mean.
I love those trivia games on the ship because it's competitive and people are like whispering, like you're communicating your social security number, right? They protect that more. You know, your social security is protect less than your answer to the trivia question.
Okay. Pet peeve on that just a little bit, just a small thing. And I hope it's not you that's listening to the show, but the people who get 38 out of 38 and like just rub it in your face. Like if I win, I don't care. Like you're playing for a keychain. Like I just want to have fun. Some people like, I swear that's their Super Bowl. Like, I mean, I get it. Like, I mean, I'm as competitive as anybody comes. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'll throw down in checkers or anything, but the thing
I've seen it,
dude. Yes. People throw down at those trivias on the ships. I'm just saying, like,
they do. Yeah. It's like they're winning a Nobel Prize or something.
Yes. I'm sorry. It gets crazy.
You want to know how I know I'm smart? Cause I won music trivia.
That's right.
Boom.
Check out my keychain or my little sticker for my cell phone. Okay. Len's got a question here, and he's going to actually be heading to the Contemporary in 4 weeks. Big family trip, Bay Lake Tower. I'm so excited for him. We've been working on this for a year. And you know that picture of the grand packs? A bunch of those went to Len's house. Just saying. Because he just sent me the email today. Okay. Let's see here. So he says, how's Disney housekeeping working these days? There's still a chance to get special treatment housekeepers used to leave, like Mickey, towel-shaped Mickeys, or are they not going to get that because they're trying to minimize the exposure to the rooms? So talk to us about housekeeping these days. What are you seeing?
So housekeeping has changed. And I think there's, you know, a few reasons for that. I think that they really don't want anyone coming into another guest room and then your room. The potential for exposure is like, it's exponentially growing, right? Because of the number of people that housekeeper would be in. So not a great idea for a housekeeper to visit multiple locations and then find that. They are doing a really thorough cleaning in between each guest. I mean, you know, the things that we've always wanted, right? I've always wanted my remote to be sealed in plastic.
Whoever came up with that idea at like some staff meeting at Disney, like, what if we put the remote, like we really cleaned it really well and put it in a, because you know what? I don't even take it out of the bag. I just use it through the bag now. You don't have to.
They are doing that. What they will do is more of a trash and towel service every other day. But I think one of the things to keep in mind is it's not like you have to wait for clean towels. If you want clean towels, pick up the phone and give them a call. They're happy to drop them off anytime. You need more soap. You need more coffee. You need any of those things. They're available for you. But they're not going to do the deep down clean. And I don't think that they're doing any of the tile animals at this point in time as well, just because I don't know. They aren't doing that kind of thing. The one thing, though, I will say is every now and then when you go to check in,
I have gotten them at check in. That's your chance where you're going to get it because it's like a fresh start. Yeah, actually, I have gotten them during my COVID trips, but they're always when I arrive into the room the first day.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's kind of a random draw. I mean, you can't really request it. And I mean, if you get one, you get one. If you don't, you know. You're going to the magic.
So if you really want them, though, watch the YouTube because there's probably a few videos and you could like make them.
Real quick. Everybody wait outside for a second. Give me 5 minutes. You know what? That's why you go on a cruise because you can learn to fold towels.
Towel animals for sure.
I'm telling you, the stuff that you do on cruises is awesome. Len's also following up with a good question. He said it's a silly question, but it's really not. He says, what is a signature dining location that I just brought up? Is it just a designation for the dining plans? So, Pam, just give us a generality, because we do use terms on this show here a lot that maybe, you know, folks, you know, kind of curious about. So what determines signature and just regular dining locations?
So think of the signature locations as the cream of the crop when it comes to the different dining locations. It's going to be a table service location, but this is going to be something that you're probably going to see prices that reflect a higher level of service, better ingredients, different, a more skilled presentation and preparation of your food. It was, they sort of did use it for the dining plan, but it's also just used sort of in general to describe most of the better table service restaurants. And most of the deluxe restaurants or the deluxe resorts have a signature location and then a regular table service location. So we were just talking about the Contemporary. California Grill would be the signature location. And of course, the Steakhouse 71 will probably be the regular location. That's what I'm assuming. At the Grand Floridian, they have a few signature locations. Citrico's and Arcusi's are both considered signature, while you have the Grand Floridian Cafe is their regular table service restaurant. And then hopefully in 1900 Park Fair, we will see it again. That's the character dining location. In addition to signature and standard table service reservation, we also have quick service locations. And those are ones where you're going to be able to go up to the counter and order something or order something using mobile ordering as it is right now. We like those too because they offer food that's like available right there on the go. They have a bunch of different choices. It's less, you know, it's priced less, things like that. There's also lounges and that kind of a restaurant, which really sort of fits in between a table service and a quick service location. And snack stands. I think that's our other snack stands are our other thing. And I mentioned real quickly the character dining, which is considered a table service restaurant.
So. And Joe says Ronto Roasters is his signature dining, which I don't disagree with, but that just confuses the whole situation. So, no, basically though, on the dining plan, a signature dining experience would require 2 credits per person right. for that meal, where everything else would require 1 credit. So that's really how you could tell in the Disney dining plan days. Kind of following up, Mary Jane has a question here. This is going to be our last question today. Do you think the dining plan will be back as we know it by 2022, or do you think they're going to change that too? I would assume there are going to be some tweaks and changes to the dining plans when they come back, just because it's an opera. They've always changed them from year to year. They added that one like fourth layer to it right before the COVID shutdown. It's been so long. I can't remember what it was called.
Dining Plan Plus.
That was it. Yes. I mean, it seems like it was 10 years ago at this point.
I know, right?
But I would imagine some tweaking and stuff like that. I would say we'll have dining plans prior to the end of the year. If I had to guess, I don't know anything, but I would guess.
Wow. I would like that. I hope that that comes true. I hope that that's one of your predictions in that space too. I agree, Mike. I think that it's a great opportunity to tweak some things. Maybe, you know, one of the things that we're going to need is the ability for mobile ordering to be able to pay, you know, you'd be able to use the dining plan and mobile order, since that's something that we've all sort of become accustomed to. And I actually personally love mobile ordering. It's one of my favorite things that has come out of everything, is the ability to do that. I think it's great. And who knows what the plans will look like? Who knows what it'll be called? Who knows what will be available? But, you know, Disney has said that the dining plans are coming back in some way. So I'd love to see that.
So instead of the just being called the Disney Dining Plan, the Disney Dining Plan Plus, are we going to have the Incredi Dining Plan and the Sorcerer's Dining Plan? And
right? We need something because Disney Dining Plan is too short of a name for Disney.
No, I can't keep track of all that stuff. Though, like, I'm trying to think, okay, is a sorcerer, like, would a sorcerer slay an incredible, because I'm trying to think, like, what's the higher level? I'm trying to look at this hierarchy. Like,
Does slaying determine the higher level? I don't know. Is that what it is? You have to actually slay.
Well, I mean, is it superheroes? Like, I mean, like, obviously the Incredipass is the more expensive one. Doesn't have any blackout dates. So apparently an incredible should be able to just wipe out all the things under it. I mean, you know, I would think, but that's right. How my brain works. I just call them the dining plan, plus dining plan, quick service dining plan. That makes sense to this little brain. So,
but it's too short of a name. Like, we need a big long name.
Okay, quick.
Or it's not something Disney.
Seriously, I know. For real. After this past 2 years, I just keep it simple, Disney. One last question, because Joe's been so funny today, and I said it was the last one. If you have a hotel reservation, park pass, and park reservation, do you have to be on property to get a boarding group? No. You can do that from anywhere. You can do it from Pittsburgh. We're taking it to Pittsburgh. You can, though. Okay, so that is it. Thank you so much for the great questions, both in the inbox and in our live chat. You guys were on fire today. You guys were the honorary Ricky to the show, and we appreciate you being here. If you want to join us, we record live on Mondays, usually around 5:45 Eastern, so plan on that and join us as we record the shows. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Lots of great guests of the Magic for Less in the live chat today, and we appreciate that so much. If you'd like to have us assist you in making your next vacation the best ever, we're going to help you out. So drop by themagicforless.com. You can check out all the specials for Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Cruise Line, even Adventures by Disney. Pam will be on the cruise line back to back next week. She's going to have a lot of great information on sailing the cruise line. Of course, I just got back from the Dream as well. We can tell you exactly what it's like, what you can expect, how it's awesome. I'm just saying how it is really great to cruise right now. We'll take great care of you. So drop by the Magic for Less, fill out that quote form while you're there, mention the show, and we'll be planning a great trip together. Again, check them out at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. One extra click does help us out a lot. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you so very much to our patrons for allowing us to put this show out all around the world 4 times a week. I hope you can always tell we love doing these shows. We laugh a lot. We have a good time. We try to get some good information out there, but we are a community, and our patrons really help come to the plate to help us get this out there. Thank you so much for that. Our patrons also get Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. If you'd like more information on becoming a patron yourself, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast. Give us a follow on the social media. I'm at brguestmike on Instagram and Twitter. Pam is at tmfltpam, but I'm going to tell you what. Go over to Instagram and follow just the Magic for Less. Is it the Magic for Less Travel or the Magic for Less? It's the Magic for Less, right? No,
it's a good question.
I'm trying to give the follow, but I don't even know what exactly it is. But it's got, there was a killer picture today of the Dream, like looking through a window. They're super creative. Whoever is putting the content
Daniel,
on.
Daniel, right?
It's good stuff. So check that out. I think it's the Magic for Less.
We're going to find out.
I should just fire up my phone because it'll probably be the first one that pops up because of the algorithm, because I'm always liking all
the Magic for Less Travel. I was trying to remember if that fit into,
there's a character limit, right? I thought that same thing. I was like, does that fit? But I don't want to have to do math at the end of a podcast. So give them a follow over there for some great content. If you're sitting in a staff meeting or something and you're flipping through Instagram, it's cool to see the cruise ships. Just saying. Been there.
Yeah.
Also, Sunday night live show, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. You, me, and Scotty G, give us a call. We'll have some fun with that. All right. We're going to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday. Ricky is standing by to join us for that show. So we are going to have a good time, and hopefully the dog will not bark. So until we see you again, for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.